One thing I was going to say in the last teaching was, I remember, because we were talking about a crossover, a bridge, Brother Copeland had some wisdom on finances, and the Lord told him to back off because he had everybody in the charismatic, I guess, group he was in, contentious, getting contentious with him over it. And the Lord said, back off until they can catch up. So we have to do that. All right, Sunday morning, 10:13:24. The title of this is God's Weapons of Warfare. Everything God does is going to be by His Spirit. And we don't have any power to do anything unless we are doing it by His Spirit. Understand? You know how much stuff we have done? We might as well have been reading the rosary. But we didn't know any better. We were like parrots. Polly want a cracker. Because we didn't know any better. But now we do. We have no excuse here. All right. It is like a punch in the Spirit. God's weapon of warfare. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. A punch. You know, we wrestle against flesh. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The Lord said, well, turn that wrestling into become a boxer. Rocky. What happens? Knockout. Knockout punch. When you follow the Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about. It's like a punch in the Spirit. No need to wrestle all the time, but use the powerful punch of the Word of God, sending the devil reeling. I can just see it. I believe that the devils have pain when we use the name of Jesus. We're going to look at that. Philippians 9. No, there's no Philippians 9. 2. Thank you for my walking concordance here. I geeked out.
I read this lots.
Yeah. Philippians 2. This is such good stuff. I'm telling you, it's not that I'm a good anything. It's God is so good. The stuff He's given is so good. I said, Lord, how are we going to get people to listen? 2:9-11. I was praying over that little church comes on before me out of Amarillo. I said, Lord, if they're in the Permian Basin and under the Faith Avenue, they're getting Faith Avenue because they're airing right before me. Lord, help them. Help them to hear what the Spirit's saying. Help them to be in divine order. All these counties, and they're in what, Brown?
Amarillo.
But it's in the sphere of Faith Avenue. So I consider it part. Anyway, 2:9-11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this is authority in three worlds. This is that third heaven authority that Mike Thompson talks about. In three worlds. We have authority in the name of Jesus. Using God's word in the name of Jesus is a punch to knock out the enemy. Again, it's to be led by the Spirit. It's not just a rote. It's not we whip out the God's medicine and just read it. I believe if you'll ask God, He'll give you the knockout punch for your situation. All right. These are the only weapons that are used in spiritual warfare. Period. Period. Anything else is just a waste of time unless the Holy Spirit gives you direct actions to take concerning your situation. Whatever He says to you, do it. All right, let's go look at Ephesians 6. Listen carefully as I read it. Concerning my situation, this is the scripture God gave me. Ephesians 6:10. says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See, the main key component here is stand. Don't run. When you're in your stance, there's where the tactics start coming to try to get you off your stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. That's your mind. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, you have a right to stand in Christ Jesus for whatever the issue is. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So when you're standing there, that's when he'll fire on you to try to get you to run. Get off your stance. But with your shield of faith up, ping! And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When he fires on you, then you thrust your sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? Word of God. That's why you need to have the words he's given you concerning your situation. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is a spiritual battle. We already know 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, leading every thought captive into obedience to Christ. This is a spirit thing. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not how many hours you read and pray and anything else, which that helps. Praying in the Spirit always helps. It'll fortify you. But it's not just this works. Just doing stuff, churchy stuff. Here we come back to churchy stuff. You might as well be praying the rosary to be getting in the flesh. All right, James 2:19. Like Brother Hagin, you say, you might as well be quoting nursery rhymes. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. I want a power punch. I kept seeing Rocky. I want to say, Adrian, I did it! Don't you? I ought to get some belts for when we make a victory. Here's your belt. Heavyweight champion of the heavens. Lord knows. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They are scared to death. They're fear of themselves. You talk about fear against you. You know why you feel fear? Because when they're around, they emanate fear. It says they fear and tremble at the word of God. I can just imagine. I hope they're naked and bleeding. Not the sons of Sceva, but them are naked and bleeding from the warfare I've been doing the past week has been intense. I hope they're so naked and bleeding they think, we never want to go back to that house. Never. All right. Tremble means bristle, chill, or stutter. Shudder, not stutter, shudder. This is how demons react when Jesus was here. Let's look at a little bit of that. Matthew 8:29. When you're in the Spirit, It's just like Jesus is standing there. Isn't it God's armor? Didn't it cover the face? So the devil doesn't know that it isn't Jesus standing there, right? Unless you get in the flesh. Oh, that's one of those wannabes. Take them out. All right. Matthew 8:29. This is what they had to say about Jesus. Well, let's just read 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Now, when you're in the spirit, they don't know it's not Jesus, because it is Jesus. Who fights our battles for us? All right, three places, Mark 5, 7, Luke 8, 28. It's the same account of the demons that have you come to torment us before the time? So God's word torments them. I know the people that worked in the underground dumps, and I've heard more than one testimony of them. They were forbidden when they went underground because of those, whatever you want to call them, to even speak the name of Jesus, even if you were using it as a slang, because it gave them great pain. Now, these are probably hybrids that are like Nephilim or whatever the case may be. Lord knows, I don't understand all about that. But it torments them to hear that name in three worlds. Every knee, their knee, the devil's knee. Torment means to torture. I said, I love it. I want them to be afraid to come to my house. How about you? All right. Part of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We bring great torment and pain when we stand our ground and we don't back down. See, that's the reason of the fear and things, is to get you to stand down. Don't stand down. Satan will use all kinds of deterrents to stop you from standing. That's why it says, when you've done all, to stand. Ephesians says that when you have done all to stand, keep standing firm in your place with no backing down. That's verse 13 and 14 right here. Let me go back over there, Ephesians 6. I want you to see this. I want you to get this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Make your stand and don't run when you're under the gun, for that is what the enemy's strategy is all about. If you'll stand, you'll take him out. He's threatened by you. The word is threatening him. He's about to lose his place in you. So he's trying everything he can to get you to give up your ground. This is not for cowards. You can't back down. You can't do it. Not if you want to win. Make your stand and don't run when you're under the gun, for that is what the enemy's strategy is all about. He knows if you do not back down that he is toast. A God has given us the name of his son so we can be the overcomer and no longer a victim to Satan and his wiles. All right, go over to Matthew. Matthew 28. This is not something to be used flippantly. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So in his name. Mark 16 says basically the same thing, a little more. With each confrontation, you know, different things, we have a different strategy. It's not one size fits all. It's not written in somebody's book. Mark 16, 17, and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, he gave them his name to do these things, not to just try to figure it out our own. Say this with me. I have been given the right as a child of God to use the mighty name of Jesus. The power that Jesus' name gives is the power to tread. All right, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tread means trample underfoot. All right, let's go to Galatians 6. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Where do we faint? It says to fail in heart. That's your mind. This is the enemy's number one tactic. It gets you weary, so you loosen your stance. You start backing off. All this ain't working. Don't back down. Don't put a time limit. Just don't back down. Stand your ground. I like what Gloria Copeland says. Inconsistency lies the power. All right. Stand and ping off all the fire darts with your shield of faith. This is Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. I was thinking about Top Gun. Here they are. They've got a couple of MiGs and they're in, they've been fire, you know, and they're playing with each other really. And so the commander, the captain of the ship or whatever his rank was, he said, do not fire unless fired upon. And I think it's the same way in this too. Do not fire unless fired upon. Don't waste your ammunition. This is when you fire back, when you're fired upon. As the fire darts come, you counter it with the word of God that he has given you for your battle. James, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. All right. What does submit mean? It just means to obey. God's got a strategy. He's got a plan. We've got to follow His plan. Submit means to obey. Resist means to stand against or oppose. Not run when you're under the gun. Commit to the standing using, or commit to your stand using God's word. When fired upon fire, don't just be spouting stuff. Walk around and spouting and yes and doing it. I bind you and I blah blah. That doesn't work. It don't work. What's led? The sons of God are led by what? The Spirit of God. Let's don't waste our breath. Let's don't waste our time. A lot of times we're just worn out because we're just doing stuff. We got our long list. I'm telling you, one word of God can lever a lethal punch. One word of God can level a lethal punch. Don't wear yourself out. Well, I got to pray 10 hours today in the Spirit. Let's be realistic. Let's quit doing stuff. Even if it's praying in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit leads you to pray 10 hours in the Spirit, and then pray 10 hours in the Spirit. But you get what I'm saying. We need to get out of doing just churchy stuff. What we've been taught. It might have worked for them that wrote the book about it. God gave them a revelation on that for them. That's the problem I find with most of the Christian books that are written. Everybody follows the purpose-driven life. Somebody asked me, have you ever read it? No. Gonna read it? No. God didn't leave me to read it. God didn't leave me to teach it. But every pastor across America did pretty well. No, we're not all doing the same thing. We're following the Spirit. He has different things for different ones. We got to follow the Spirit. We'd do better to do nothing than to just do a bunch of fleshy stuff. Okay, quench means to extinguish. I just see the fire hose. But one thing about it, when the three Hebrew children went into the fire and they come out of the fire, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Unsinged. You can come out of your battle unsinged. I'm telling you, if you follow the Spirit. All right, instead of wrestling all the time and wearing yourself out, become a boxer. I venture to say, one scripture would just punch his lights out. Knockout punch. But you do what the Spirit tells you to do. All right. I'm just trying to help you to quit wearing yourself out on things that are not working. Whatever God says to you and you do it, it'll turn water into wine. That's the goal, right? Yeah. And it's not just cheap, whatever. It's the best one. Best wine. His plan is the best plan. Okay. Jesus cast a demon out of a child and said that the devil rent him sore. And I want to look at that for a minute. This is Mark. The Lord spoke to me about that. You cannot, because this is a tactic of the enemy. Mark 9:20. And they brought unto him, and when they saw him straightway, Let me see what I wrote down. Mark, all right, I start with, okay. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this child came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and cast out and came out of him, and he was as one dead. And some said, many said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What the Lord spoke to me about this was, when you make the faith command, it doesn't necessarily mean that the symptoms all disappear or whatever's happening all at once. Sometimes it may appear to get a little worse. And the Lord said, don't be swayed by that. That's renting. He knows he's got to go, so he's kicking up his heels and making a dust storm or whatever to get you, try to trick you. Last minute trick, because he don't want to leave. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Do not be moved by the renting. It's the enemy's tactic. What is renting? Rent means to convulse, mangle, or spasmodic contraction. It's some kind of action. Yeah. In other words, he will make you think that your stand is not enough so that you give up. Maybe it appears the situation is worse and no better, trying to get you to back off your stand. Don't be moved if things are ramped up. It's only a smoke screen. Remember, not even the smell of smoke. After you have done all to stand, stand firmly in your place. This is by the power of God and not by our power. It won't work in the flesh, but only in the spirit. Whatever you do, do not back off your stand. Many people say, oh, it ain't working. They quit. I've done everything you said and it ain't working. Let's read a few more scriptures. 1 Corinthians. Is this helping anybody today? Yes. This is just practical. Just practical. Nothing against anybody that's written books or done anything. It's just, books are great and they're noble, but we can't go by books except this book. All right, 1 Corinthians 1. Get me a drink. Starting with verse 18 there. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's way is the way. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's all a God operation, every bit of it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If we do it in the Spirit, we will see the results. If we do it in the Spirit, we will also see the results. Galatians 6:8. Oh, thank you, Lord, for helping us. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You just can't back down and you can't give up. All right. I want to read this out of Brother Hagin's Faith Food. It says here, a confession should be in line with what God said. Remember, confession is affirming something we believe, testifying to something that we know, and witnessing for a truth that we have embraced. It should affirm that we believe the Word, that what we are confessing comes into being. God will give you the words to speak over your personal situation that you will be able to stand. The battle belongs to the Lord when you take His word in His name and stand in His armor. God never loses a battle, and you will not either when you do it His way. Okay, a few more scriptures and I'm going to be done here. Jeremiah 1:12. It just basically says that He watches over His word to perform it. You don't have to turn there. Let's go to 2 Peter. He watches over His word to perform it. None of His words ever to return void. They're not just fleshly words that go out in the atmosphere. No words really return void, really. But God's word never returned void. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What is the day star? Revelation knowledge. In other words, you get a revelation on your particular situation and God speaks to you, and that's what you use to stand. Okay? Rhema. A rhema word that joins you up with God in the Spirit and will bring the best results. Not fleshly. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. You can't, until you wait on the Lord and get the plan, then you can't mount up. You can't do a good warfare till you get His plan for it. Y'all got it? All right. God.